Our reading this morning comes from the Persian poet Rumi. It's called Precious Core and comes from the Masnawi 3. The core of every fruit is better than its rind. Consider the body to be the rind and its friend the spirit to be the core. After all, the human being has a precious core. Seek it, inspired by the divine breath. Today we will have a collection of three messages from our high school youth. I invite Reed and Philip to the podium to start us off.
Hello, for those of you who don't know us, I'm Reed Quiggins. I use he, him pronouns.
And I'm Philip Aduka. I also use he, him pronouns.
We're both freshmen in high school and at the senior youth group here at WOOF. Today we'll be telling you about how teamwork makes the dream work, and more specifically about the role running plays in our lives and how exercise in general ties in with our shared Unitarian Universalist values.
Running is important to me because it provides a fun yet challenging activity I can do with my friends. Whether we are joking around or taking the run very seriously, running raises my spirits and keeps me in good health at the same time. Surprisingly, running is a social sport and very team-oriented. While most people associate running as something people go do by themselves, they are missing out on my favorite part, teamwork. Having teammates to train with, compete against, and help cheer me on is one of, if not the best part of running. They help me work harder and go faster. Almost all professional runners train as a team due to the fact that having other people with you makes running a better experience. Without a good team, runners never would have set the incredible records most people only dream of breaking. How do you think Usain Bolt, the fastest person in the world, can push himself to the limits, working vigorously every day almost nonstop? How can Galen Rupp, a world-class marathon runner, persevere his way through a 26-mile-long race? They get cheered on by their teammates, their coaches, and everyone who has helped them along the way. Teamwork really does make the dream work.
Running and exercise activities in general are no doubt a great way to connect with people and bond while doing something that at times can seem very challenging and daunting. However, when you don't have anyone to support you, it can become a much more difficult task to find motivation needed to get out there and exercise. In fact, having someone to support you in any endeavor can be extremely uplifting, and vice versa. If you don't have anyone, it can become very hard. In our school system, there's a lot of support provided by teachers to their students in classes if they seem to be struggling or just having a bad day. However, hardly any support is given to students as it pertains to being active and participating in sports. The only exercise that students are provided in school is a semester or two of PE in high school, and this oftentimes can seem like more of a chore than anything else, instead of something that's challenging, fun, and beneficial for your body. Teachers don't frame physical education as something that's fun, and therefore students aren't encouraged to participate in after-school sports and other physical activities. All of this creates a rather negative stigma around exercise, which in my opinion is the opposite of how it should be. This can be harmful to students both physically and mentally, as exercise has been scientifically proven to help you both physically by preventing some cardiovascular diseases and mentally, as it can relieve stress and clear your mind of anything that happened that day. And along with it being great for your health and well-being, running and exercise go hand in hand with some of our Unitarian Universalist shared values and the five jagged rocks.
If you're not familiar with the term five jagged rocks, here's a brief explanation. They are essentially additional morals and values developed by youth ministry in addition to the seven principles that we already have. In some ways, they fill in for gaps some feel we have in our principles. The five jagged rocks are as follows. There is unity that makes us one. All souls are worthy. Courageous love transforms the world. Truth continues to be revealed and unfolded to us. And salvation in this life. Although running may not seem to have ties at first with the principles in jagged rocks, they are much more connected than you might expect. In terms of the principles, running and exercise can relate with most, if not all of them. The biggest connections between running and the principles I have found are in the first, third, and seventh principles. The first principle, the inherent worth and dignity of every person, relates with running, driving good sportsmanship, and valuing every runner no matter which team they're on. The third principle, acceptance of one another and encouragement to spiritual growth in our congregations, can be associated with running through teamwork and supporting and encouraging fellow runners to learn, grow, and improve. Running can relate with the seventh principle, respect for the interdependent web of all existence of which we are a part, due to how runners are outside in parks, on trails, on the beach, and need to respect and keep the environment and wildlife around them clean and thriving. Running also relates with the five jagged rocks. I see its strongest connections with the second and fifth jagged rock. The second jagged rock, All Souls Are Worthy, is shown in running by the variety of skill levels throughout runners. While some can run marathons and others only a mile, we are all runners no matter our abilities. Finally, the fifth jagged rock, Salvation in This Life, is associated with running because if you want to make the most of your life, it's much easier to do so when you are in good shape.
Running may seem as simple as going out for a jog every once in a while, but it can be made and interpreted to have a much greater meaning for some people. Whether it's representative of our own seven principles or the jagged rocks or anything else, it can have much greater meaning. It also ties in with the educational system and how teachers don't always encourage healthy habits in terms of exercise. Lastly, Philip and myself encourage you all to take a look at our seven principles again and try to apply them to many different areas of your life, not just spiritually, as we have with health and fitness. Next, we'll be keeping the theme of the school system as it relates to health with a short video from our next presenter, Harrison.
Hello, my name is Harrison, and I'm a sophomore at Hillsboro High School, and I use he, him pronouns. I've interviewed people at my school to get their opinion on school lunches, and here's what they have to say. During this video, I encourage you to think how encountering the food would affect your daily performance and life activities. Talk about what could they do to make the food better here at Hill High.
Well, they could start by not using as much processed items. The majority of every single thing in our lunch, like cafeteria, like during lunch, is totally garbage. Really cheap, really like, I mean, you know, I don't have that much money, but at least they could try to emphasize on getting better food. But yeah, they could definitely use less processed items, more realistic things. I mean, a lot of the chicken tastes like cardboard, so that.
What is wrong with the food here at Hill High? Well, for starters, the pizza literally drips grease. Like, the container in which you get it in is filled with grease. You can wipe a napkin, and that napkin would be drenched in grease. The cheese is completely processed and just pretty much rubbery. And the fries and the tater tots, they're inconsistently either overcooked and really crunchy or undercooked and soggy. It's honestly pretty disgusting. Why do you not like eating the food here?
I don't like to eat the school food because I don't know where it comes from. I am nervous about the quality, and because I know the school isn't exactly delicious, I'm hesitant to eat some of the food that they put out. It doesn't look good. It is very processed. You can tell that it's gross, cheap food. A lot of the times they give us fruit and they tell us you have to take the fruit, but it's rotten and you can't even eat it, and it's awful. The milk always tastes expired and gross, and it just generally is not good quality. It's not appetizing. The noodles taste like they're made out of glue. It's disgusting. It just grosses me out. It makes me feel uncomfortable. It makes me feel like I'm eating something that is like back alley, they got for a super discount, like stuff they feed to prisoners, honestly. It's like our food is worse than prison food, and it's a really big problem, and it makes me feel uncomfortable.
Up next, we have Megan.
I'm Megan. She, her pronouns. So, I think we could all concur that those lunches were not the most appetizing, right? But it's not just the taste of the food that we should be concerned about. It's also the nutrition, specifically how students are learning about nutrition. Most public school health classes today only devote about 1 month of teaching about nutrition. And since most students are required to take 2 health classes in order to graduate, that's just 2 months. 2 months of learning about sugar, carbs, healthy and unhealthy fats, how to read food labels, and overall how to deal with food. They say that being a teenager is the time to build life habits, habits that will supposedly stick with us for the rest of our lives. Now, I don't know about you, but to me, 2 months to learn such an important life skill is not enough. But even when looking further into what these health classes are teaching regarding nutrition, it's oftentimes confusing. For example, they say junk food is bad, so eat it in moderation. Well, what's moderation? Cooking is such an important... a month, a year, we don't really know. And when they say eat food that's cooked at home, how do we cook? Cooking is such an important life skill to have. Even since the brink of mankind, when they say, when we were hunter and gatherers, if you didn't know how to get your own food, then you wouldn't survive. But today, the idea has almost disappeared of cooking at home. Instead of relying on mom and dad in the kitchen to feed us, it's now turned into your friendly neighborhood gas station or fast food or whatever kind of processed convenience food businesses there are around. This is mostly because today the food industries have persuaded us into thinking that cooking is difficult or messy. And the reason why public schools want this sort of thing to be confusing is because of who's teaching the class. Due to budget cuts from a lack of taxes devoted to our schools, most of the funding comes from the government. And the companies who the government has teamed up with to feed our schools are mostly modeled after fast food chains because they're cheap, have longer shelf life, and they get the kids addicted to fast food at an early age. So, of course, the fast food industries would be reluctant in teaching how to prepare real food because that's not where the money is. And when you look at the schools in Europe, let's say France, you'll notice that their system is nothing like ours at all. Cafeterias make their own fresh food every day and have little to no vending machines. They teach more proper education in nutrition, cooking, and table manners, and in turn, their energy levels increase, improving educational scores like test results. So how can we help? First of all, vote. Vote for more taxes dedicated to public schools and for school programs to teach more about food like cooking and nutrition. And secondly, get involved yourself, especially if you're a student or if you like to live vicariously through your own kids. For me, I'm known as the produce pusher at school. For my lunch, I'll often pack a thermos of last night's leftovers and then a bunch of fresh fruits and veggies on the side. And when kids come up to me saying that they're hungry and asking for any food, I'll often whip out a bag of carrot sticks or apple slices or a banana. And most of the time, they'll be okay with it. And I'll be like, you know, here, have some nutrients. And I think the only time that they haven't really accepted it is when it's like celery sticks or something. And they're like, no, that's okay, Megan. But in the end, yes, yeah, so the way our school systems teach nutrition today is a little messed up, but we can all make a difference. Whether it be teaching your own kids to cook, voting for laws, or even sharing a healthy snack with friends, the power is and always will be within us. Like Mahatma Gandhi once said, you must be the change you wish to see in the world, which means it starts with all of you. Thank you.
Let's see. We'll now have about 5 minutes for questions and comments. So, yeah. Hi, I'm Amelia. She, her.
Reed, he, his.
Philip, he, him.
Megan, she, her.
Leandra, she, her.
Harrison, he, him.
For your presentation, I'd like to know what, after your names, he, him, or she, her represent.
I'll take that one. So as we move as a community to be more inclusive to folks who don't identify as cisgender, so folks whose identity doesn't match the gender that they were assigned to at birth, we like to get away with the assumption that people can assume what pronouns someone uses. So we are introducing ourselves and including our pronouns in that so that there's zero confusion and we sort of foster a culture where we don't assume people's pronouns.
Thank you. Thank you all for your offer. Goodness. Would you be willing, as in the olden days, we used to have to take home ec and shop and things like that. Would you be willing to spend some of your high school years taking home ec if it were offered?
Yeah, I think that would be a great idea. I'm actually doing a school project in one of my classes where I'm promoting the idea that to let kids like actually learn how to cook, because we do have home ec classes, but they're not a required class. And that to me just doesn't make any sense, because if a kid doesn't know how to cook, then what are they going to eat? They're going to eat processed foods, you know, they're going to rely on all these fast food chains and stuff to feed them. So, and it's also it's really expensive. If they want to eat high quality food, then they would have to go to like a restaurant or something if they don't know how to make the high quality food. So more expensive, and it just seems logical, you know, to learn how to cook in life. It's such an important life skill. So maybe like, I guess in my presentation for the class that I'm working on, I'm kind of promoting the idea to take at least a year or like a credit's worth of home ec classes just to learn how to cook basic foods like pasta or rice or oatmeal or something like that, you know?
My school doesn't offer any home ec classes, but I'd love to take one, especially if I got to eat the food afterwards.
Well, I just want to give you my compliments for bringing such important topics as exercise and fitness and how we eat into a spiritual discussion, basically. And, you know, to me it seems like maybe you wouldn't call it home ec class. Maybe there are other ways to describe a class that deals, like make it part of your life skills thing that deals with, I think you have to take, don't you have to take a course about writing checks and how to budget and financial, nothing like that? Well, that's wrong. Well, that you should. you know, kids need that. And also about eating and exercise and fitness. And those things really should be a part of not only what we see it do at school, but also church and just regular life. There should be a closer bond between that which is ordinary and that which we see as spiritual. So this is an insight that I think you really have brought to us today, and I thank you.
Yes, it's generally very unfortunate, all the things that we wish were taught in our schools but aren't due to budget funding or because they don't deem them to be as important.
Thank you all for your presentations. Very insightful. And Leandra, thank you for your piano playing. I would like to have any comments that you'd like to offer on anything related to your piano playing or the presentations or anything.
Hi, my name is Shanoa Payne. I have more of a maybe comment or concern. Thank you for your presentation. Again, a really important issue. It seems like I understand that there is a large percentage of students going to school that are the only food that they eat during the day is the food that they get from the school cafeteria, and that maybe cooking or that might not be a skill that necessarily provides them healthy food, because going home doesn't they can't afford or their family can't afford to feed them. So as a community, I'm wondering what a solution might be to make sure that they are getting healthy nutrients. And I know that this is a large problem that we face as a community. And I know that funding isn't there for schools to provide healthy food. And I'm just wondering as a community how we can think about that on a broader level.
A partial response to that comment is the fact that WOLF participates in a school backpack program where we provide a backpack full of food, healthy food, for kids to take home. Now, that is at the primary grades, as far as I know. Is there anything like that at the high school level?
Many middle schools and high schools will partner with food banks in the area to kind of like hook them up to resources. But I think generally just the idea that school is going to be one of the main places where they get their meals is really one of the main reasons why we need to address the issues of the food that's being served. Because, you know, many kids will get their breakfast there, they'll get their lunch, and if they stay for an after-school program, they can get a snack.
and that might be the most of what they eat during the day. So if you have the means to bring your own food, then you're able to kind of have a healthier option, but we need to look out for those that are not as privileged as us.
I just want to add, too, that you know, people that feel inclined to address this issue can participate in the school backpack program.
I just wanted to say that at the Creative Science School in Southeast Portland, where my great-grandson in sixth grade took a three-month course in what they called healthy living. And a lot of it involved actually preparing food and having take-home projects where they would prepare food and then come back and talk about it. It has made a huge difference in my grandson's eating habits, and he is so pleased and always so proud to share what he's learned and say, you know, that's not really the best thing to be eating, Grandma.
Something that's very challenging at the high school level is leadership and whether, you know, student government exists, whether it's kind of monopolized by people who are just popular, you know. I was gonna ask the panel up on the stage. Do you have a positive? Do you have a negative view? Do you have any opinion of student government?
Well, I'm in student government, so okay. I'm in facilities, so I'm hanging posters, rafters, helping people with anything. And I know our student government. We go and help with like food banks. We go volunteer anywhere we can, so.
If you have a more specific question.
No, that sounds good.
We got a hand in the back over there.
Thank you all. This was a really very different from our past senior youth group meetings or services. It was great. It was occurred to me that maybe, you know, you're not going to see a change in the schools in your period of time there. Why not try to start a nutrition and cooking class here at WOOF and invite your friends and have some evening or late afternoon or something program. I know you're kind of scattered geographically, but what about giving it a try?
I was just going to give you a little background on why there's no home ec. I was trained as a home economist, and a basic home ec includes foods and nutrition, interpersonal relationships, human sexuality, finance, family finances. And so it included a lot of things, but it's not a job. So the universities no longer have home economics programs because it in itself is not a job. It's more like liberal arts of living, how to write a check, how to get a mortgage, how to design a house so it's livable. Those things are not in altogether a job, so they've split it up. And that's why it's not there anymore, and I'd love to see it come back.
I'd like to commend each of you guys for being the voice that brings some of the challenges that you're dealing with to us so that we can be more aware and more responsive to them. And so great job doing that. I also wanted to let everybody here know if you want to be a part of the food movement and the solution to that, we have a community farm. And we branched off and created a nonprofit food pantry about 4 years ago. And we do about 80,000 pounds a week of produce to families in need. So the volume is significant. We sent 6 truckloads to Standing Rock. So if any of you guys want to be a part of the solution, we have the resources to provide the food. You would just have to be creative as far as providing the transportation and the delivery to that. And we'll provide that to any school, Oregon, Washington. So if you want to be a part of that solution, providing produce, it's all green, so it's imperfect, but it's certainly better than the processed garbage you were referring to. And we'll stay around afterward for anybody that has questions. So if you guys want to be involved, we'll stay for 20 or 30 minutes. You guys can, if you want to be a part of that.
Who was that was talking? We wanted to see who you were. My name is Tyler.
I wanted to say thanks to all of you, and I also wanted to say that I'm actually impressed with some of the things that have gone on in the elementary school level in terms of how we deal with lifelong fitness and cooking. I have to say the last time that either of my kids had cooking in school was in kindergarten, and it was the highlight of the week for every kindergartner was getting to cook every Friday. And also what goes on in PE has changed so much from my generation to my kids' generation, because PE wasn't something that was fun to me at all when I was a kid, and it was now there are many, many more lifelong activities taught, fun games. It really has changed, I think, in a positive way on the elementary level in terms of what's taught in PE.
It's definitely important to note that there's a lot of variation from school to school, from district to district. Something to keep in mind for Oregon is that they have the least amount of required school hours of any state. So the students in Oregon get the least amount of schooling of any state.
To speak for physical education, I used to be a PE teacher, and we taught things like golf and archery and swimming and things that you could do as teams afterward, and then it all went downhill. So I hope it comes back.
Hi. I know in terms of PE, I believe it's a statewide bill that was passed, and I think it's having to come into effect like next year, where PE is going to have to be offered about 30 minutes a day. And I work in the schools, and I know they're saying, how in the world is this going to happen? So the problem is fitting it into the day, finding the number of teachers, finding the classes. But it is a new law that they're requiring more PE. So be on the lookout for how we're going to be creative to get it done. But there is something happening on that front.
I'm going to take advantage of being the one running the mic around to ask you guys a question on this PE thing. So as a few of you know, is not really the biggest sports person in the world. I don't know the rules. I'm not very good at most of them. What would you suggest that teachers do when you do have those PE classes to encourage those of us who would rather just sit back and read a book to participate? Because certainly what you were talking about the community and the team encouraging each other is really positive stuff that's great. But what would you suggest to teachers, and I know I'm putting you guys on the spot and making you think on your feet, what would you suggest for encouraging people like me to be active when we were in high school?
I definitely would say, have fun. So many PE classes all hammer down, you have to jog and jumping jacks and, get a burning in your legs or something, and that means it's healthy, it's good, you're exercising. But for me, I roller skate, I have fun, I get lots of exercise, and really just to promote those kind of students who maybe don't really find a lot of joy in running or jumping jacks or lifting weights or something, and tell them, go walk with your friends and talk or play a game or, pretty much anything outside, running around, any movement can be counted as exercise because you're still moving your body. And just if you're having more fun, could be more enjoyable.
So I have, excuse me, two quick things. So my kids go to Templeton Elementary, one of them still does. And they're have one of the highest rates of needs. They have a lot of kids getting the backpack program, so they have a big backpack program that they work on. And then Tigard High School is on Durham Road, it's a pretty main road, and there's a big church there that has a big billboard, and they say, for Tigard senior or free Taco Tuesdays for all Tigard students. So you're talking about how you get involved. I don't know if there's a high school near here, but they're offering free lunches to kids, and maybe they're getting some participation. I don't know.
Hi, thank you, guys. Just a word about the school lunches. I participate or have participated in our backpack program, both at Barnes Elementary in Beaverton and Aloha Huber are the two schools in Beaverton that I know of that have that backpack program. There may be others, but we volunteer at both of those schools. And that's really easy to do. You just talk to Annie Vigileus or Megan Elzer, our board chairman, who co-coordinate that program. The other thing that I participated in a couple of years ago was during the summer, the school district had free lunches for, I think it was from 2 years old to 21 or something like that, but it covered all of the public school years. And once a week during the summer, they did this at the main Central Park down by the library in Beaverton, and there may be other places that did that too. I don't know. I think I remember last year driving past there during the summer and never seeing that go on at that park. I don't know whether they still do. But those were two ways that the schools were involved in providing food.
I know my school district has done something similar to that, giving out food during the summer. So.
I'll be quick. I know that, Megan, you mentioned that you bring your lunch from home, and I just think that's so amazing because when I was your age, that would have been the last thing I could have managed in my morning. And Harrison, the kids that you interviewed, they clearly are not eating at the cafeteria. Are these kids bringing things from home? Are they being proactive enough to make something in the evening and pack it and just schlep it to school? Oh, I'm impressed. I mean, all my working years, I could never manage that. So. And I was a grown-up.
Thank you so much for your questions and comments.